Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hello.
Hi.
Today we're going to be playing Clank in Space.
Make sure you get those exclamation marks.
Clank in Space!
Designed by Paul Denning of the Clank series. The artists, mini artists, are Rafe Beisner, Raul Ramos, Le Rastislav, and Nate Storm, all of the Clank series, as well as Franz Vowinkel of Minigames. He has 54 in the top 1,000, including Puerto Rico, Dominion, Targi, Magic the Gathering, Ra, Quest for El Dorado, and Catan. Yeah, it's a decent resume.
I had to stop listing because I realized it just kept going and going and going.
And it is published by Renegade Game Studios. The evil Lord Eradicus has all but conquered the galaxy and is now on a victory lap across the sector in his flagship, Eradicus Prime. Narcissistic. He may rule with an iron grip, but the most prized artifacts are about to slip through his cyborg claws. You and your fellow thieves have challenged each other to sneak aboard his ship, hack your way into its command module, and steal from him. This is a BP game right here. Along the way, you'll recruit allies and snatch up extra loot. But one false step and clank! Careless noise draws attention of Lord Eradicus. Hacking into his command module and stealing his artifacts increases his rage. You'd better hope your friends are louder than you if you want to make it to the escape pod and get out alive. The mechanics are card drafting, deck pool building, modular board, player elimination, point-to-point movement, and pressure luck.
Yeah, I like the, you hope your friends are louder. It reminds me of that, like, I don't have to run faster than the bear. I just have to run faster than you.
Are there bears in space?
I mean, I suppose there could be. There's pigs in space.
All right, so then the box art is a futuristic-y looking thing with some fantasy characters in space suits running away from a giant mechanized Tron thing.
I believe that's Lord Eradicus.
I didn't want to make assumptions. All right, so on all that, or is this something you'd be interested in?
I mean, you did say it was a BP game from the get.
Well, stealing loot.
Yeah.
It's literally a game designed on your favorite thing.
So looting, thieving, and screwing over your friends to run away.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's... Yep.
The art doesn't do really a whole lot for me. Although, I mean, I do like kind of the roguishness of the characters. And especially since I'm still reading that anthology on rogues that Patrick Rothfuss has contributed to. But other than that, it's, I don't know.
What do you think, Kiwi?
You guys are usually more into art. As well. I think the one cool thing about it is if you look at the box cover for Clank, it's got like, this looks like that box cover, but it's in space.
Okay.
And it's got that same kind of like, the characters are all running away from some giant monster. I think in the first, you're stealing treasure from a dragon. So they're running from a dragon. And in this one, you're running from Lord Eradicus.
Right. So we have not played Clank either. So this is a
correct.
Even if it's a similar experience, it's all brand new to us.
Yeah. So similar, by the way, it was difficult to find a how to play video of Clank in Space because all the videos were just, hey, if you've played Clank, here's the differences between Clank and Clank in Space. And then like 5 minutes later, it goes, okay, have fun playing Clank in Space.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the art is kind of veering towards kind of the cartooniness, like a Munchkin style that doesn't appeal to me. But I mean, the description sounds fun. The mechanics sound fun. Looking forward to some more pressure luck.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
As we've established, 2/3 of us enjoy deck builders.
Yeah.
player elimination is interesting. We haven't come across that too often.
Yeah, plus I think Renegade's starting to be one of my favorite companies just because I really enjoy a lot of the games they put out.
Yep. We've had good luck with their stuff, so
yep.
Well, and Mandy seemed to have been a big supporter of theirs at Gen Con, so
yep.
Yeah, so I'm super excited to see what your history is for Clank in Space.
So I just at first I was like, I have no idea. Maybe I'll like think about the space theme. And then I went ahead and read the description that you guys had. I know.
Oh, actually, cheating.
I know. I pulled up the show notes.
I even told Kiwi. Oh, I was like, pulled up the show notes. I was like, don't give her any information. Just tell her history of Clank in space.
Too bad you guys gave me the show notes.
It's true.
We'll have to lock it down for next time.
Yep.
So I read about the whole thieving thing, which of course, really exciting because for some reason it is a theme that I'm really into lately. Playing scoundrels in games, reading about thieves and scoundrels and rogues. And of course, since school is now in session and I'm teaching a lot, I was just thinking about kind of the history, you know, just immediately went back to the history of thieving, and not that we're going to have a huge history lesson, but I definitely think that that needs to be somebody's dissertation out there, is like kind of a history of like some of the greatest like heists throughout history. Google will just send you to mostly like 20th century stuff, but I want to hear about like stories and tales of like, I mean, for instance, Hammurabi's code talks about, you know, stealing mundane things, but you know, like the sentence is death. Like thieving is as old as human nature almost, right? And stealing things. And so I just feel like there have to be like some better stories out there. One of the ones I thought of recently, because I also covered the French Revolution, was the Hope Diamond, and the theft of the Hope Diamond is the king and queen were losing their heads. They also lost their crown jewels. And while some of them were recovered, not their blue diamond. So I don't know. I guess work needs to begin. There's not a whole lot of history lessons except that literature and law codes, you know, everything is just littered with the fact that human beings are pretty rotten and like to steal from each other.
Paxton and I watched Indiana Jones last week and yesterday in order to prepare for Clank in Space.
You mean archaeologists looting as a form of thievery?
Yeah.
Sorry, kind of a lame history lesson, I know.
Well, I don't know what else you could have done for this.
Yeah, I don't know either. About as good as you're going to get for this theme, I think. So the game plays just like Clank. All right, let's go.
All right, let's do
just
it.
Just kidding. Okay. The goal of the game kind of goes in three parts. So first we have to hack the ship's computer to collect two parts of a code so that we can get into the command module of the ship. And the command module of the ship is where Lord Eradicus keeps his artifacts, which we are then going to steal and then try to make our way back to the escape pods and jettison away from the ship. So the player with the most points from the artifact and the loot they collect along the way is the winner. On your turn, you're going to have a hand of cards. It's going to start at 5, and you're going to play them in any order you want. The only rule is you have to play every card. So you will play all 5 cards in your hand every time it's your turn. Cards have 3 different resources. So there's a blue diamond, blue diamond, which is skill, a red circle with a sword, which is non-IP infringement listed as a laser sword, and a yellow square with a boot for boots. Skill allows you to buy cards. Swords allow you to defeat enemies or avoid damage as you move around. And the boots are how you move around the map. Some of the cards have factions. So it's like up in the top left corner with colors, and other cards will have in their text, they'll say like, you know, draw one card and it'll have like the blue faction or green faction. And you'll have to play another card of that faction to do that text. There are different spots on the board with icons. So there's feet, which means you have to pay an extra movement to move across those. There's a lock, which you have to purchase the key to get through those spots. And then there's like little robot heads, and you take 1 damage for each robot head when you move through that, unless you have laser swords to block it. And then you can purchase cards from the Adventure Row, which are different cards that get put out during the turn, and those will get replenished at the end of each player's turn. Or you can purchase from the Reserve, which are three different cards. They're all the same, and they're just a bunch of stuff that you can purchase and put in your deck. When we replenish the Adventure Row, if the card has a boss icon on it, it means we have to draw from the Erraticus bag, which is full of black cubes to start with. And then every time you clank, you have to take one of your color cubes and put it in the bag. So as we draw out of the bag, if your color is drawn, then you take a damage. And when you take all your damage, which is 10 damage, then you get knocked out. If you get knocked out anywhere but the escape pod room, you get left in the ship. If you pass out in the escape pod room, your friends help you get to an escape pod and you get off the ship. And then the game ends when all players have escaped or are knocked unconscious. And now we have learned how to play Clank and Clank in Space.
So what is so this player elimination thing?
Yeah, so if you pass out, you're out of the game. If you get into escape pod, you're out of the game.
So think of what's a famous game with player elimination?
Monopoly.
Nobody gets eliminated in that. It just goes on forever.
Yeah, you can if you lose all your money and properties. But
that's a bad example because you're thrilled if you get eliminated from Monopoly and you don't have to play Monopoly.
Risk.
Yeah, so Risk is a good example. Like, you get wiped out in Risk, you're out of the game, the game keeps going on for two more hours, and you go play video games or read a book.
So how is that a bad thing?
Well, so some people don't like player elimination because if it's a game that you like playing and you get eliminated, then you're just out, and then all your friends are still playing the game, and then what do?
There's a common theme that games with player elimination are not very good, so you don't mind being eliminated.
Yeah. I don't know if we've played any games with player elimination.
Well, this will be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's play.
We just finished a game of Clank in Space!
That was excellent.
Thank you. To recap, BP had a solid 73 points, Kiwi had 106, and I won with 108 points. Strategy-wise, you have something? Some witty comment you wanted to throw in there?
I was going
to
say well done.
Okay, thank you.
Kiwi did not win.
So my strategy was, I guess, the only thing I really did that I thought about was trying to get those, what was the faction I liked? The piratey people?
Yeah, the outlaws.
The outlaws. So I got a couple outlaws that gave me bonuses when I had other outlaws and contraband. So that was kind of the only thing I really focused on. Otherwise, I ran around the board like a lunatic. I had one bonus card that was for power crystals, so then I tried to keep my power crystals, but otherwise, I don't think I really had a strategy. Anyone else?
I think I had a similar strategy, except I was going for the purple, the resistance. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have the power crystal one.
Yeah. BP?
No strategy, and I think it shows.
I mean, I think your strategy was to get off the ship first.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, once I figured out that you were really close and everyone was really close to artifacts, I was just like, let's grab an artifact and get out of here. And I thought it was going to take me a lot longer.
I mean, I think you were the most efficient. You had the least damage. You got off the ship first. You were just kind of in and out, which...
And I had the most credit.
I don't know if we'll discuss later, sure. But I think that should have been worth something. Like, I think the first person off should have the highest victory point value, and then it should go down every person that escapes after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think what you did was good. I just, the game didn't really reward you for it. So the theme, BP, what did you think of the thieving theme?
Yeah, so I didn't want to get into this under strategy, but because like you had said, when you had said, you know, you picked the Outlaws, it made me go back to the theme. This was supposed to be about thieves and bandits and rogues. And I just didn't get it. Like I just didn't see, besides the fact that you were supposed to get to one end of the board, pick up a cube and get to the other end of the board. Like, and the, I mean, we can talk about the art on the cards, but like, aside from that, there were cards that were supposed to help with that. Like, I didn't see that this was a thieving.
Now,
even press your luck.
If you had been in a dungeon stealing a dragon's loot and then the dragon chased you out, would that make better sense? Because that's what the original Clank is, I think.
Maybe. I guess I could see it more as a, I mean, I still don't see where the thieving.
I don't think a thieving to me is more like urban, a heist, an Ocean's 11 thing or something.
But I think even the idea where you're, I mean, you're being really deceptive about trying to get, you know, stuff from even other players or from the mastermind, right? The big enemy. Whereas I guess I don't see that. Like, it's just, you know, it's kind of like Magic Maze. Was so you're getting into to steal some stuff and then you're getting out. Like, I feel like it's almost that same concept, except at least with Magic Maze, like there's that pressure.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, to me, especially in this sort of space theme, like you walk in the door, there's a security officer, you kill him, the whole ship knows. Like, the whole idea of you're sneaking around not making noise, like, doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me in this. So, Kiwi?
No, I don't disagree. I think I'd like to try the regular Clank to see if the theme sort of works, like the mechanics and the theme work better in regular Clank.
Yeah, I feel like that whole kind of space bandit thing was much more captured in Galactic Scoundrel.
Yep. Or from a game mechanic perspective, Colt Express, where you're grabbing loot, punching other people, taking the loot and running around.
Yes.
I feel like it's been the whole thieving thing is a little more, has been better done.
Yes. Great.
Okay. Anything else on theme?
Just to wrap it into the art, to move in that direction, since that's the next point. I mean, the one thing I will say about the theme and the art is that that works together. I think, you know, we all thought the cards were really cute and funny, and there was some humor involved in them. I think the components all worked really well together. So, I mean, in that aspect, I feel like that the art really brought that theme together, but not as far as like the mechanics and how the gameplay went.
So on the art, this is where kind of like it has the whole silliness that doesn't really appeal to me that much. Same with like Munchkin or any kind of parody kind of game. Networks kind of does it, but that's a little different to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I tend to like games where like, it's less the game is trying to be funny and it's more it allows the players to be funny about it. I don't know. Does that probably doesn't make any sense, but like, look at Cat Lady, right? So Cat Lady doesn't try to be funny, but when you play it, you're laughing the whole time because it just becomes funny.
I don't mind the cartoony art style and I enjoy the humor that's in it. But I think like, it's one of those things where you would end up like, you know, you play with somebody new and you're like, hey, make sure you read the flavor text on the card. And then, you know, trying to guess where some of the stuff comes from.
Right.
Mechanics. Kiwi, what did you think of how it played?
I thought it was, you know, once we got going, everything was pretty straightforward. I like the way that you can string cards. I mean, it's a deck builder, so like being able to string those cards. I think the only complaint would be there's no way to cycle the adventure row. There's a couple of cards that were able to do it. Like you could trash a card to get stuff out of there, but I feel like there should probably be some way to cycle it. Because like with Dominion, you know, the cards that you can get are always right there. You can get any card. You just have to have the money for it. For Subatomic, like those change, but there's three rows and stuff gets destroyed and moved around and taken out at, during each round. So like the board changes. I think there were probably four or five turns at the beginning of the game where everything was six credits or six skill and nobody could buy anything.
Yeah.
So you ended up just filling up your deck with a bunch of stuff from the reserve.
I feel like most games is kind of like that. Is this like a drafting where you have like an option to select from? There's always some sort of, or you can do this and wipe the row kind of thing, which is kind of lacking.
But I like the way like the damage worked. Like you knew like, okay, I'm filling up that bag with my cubes. Like I think BP pointed out a couple of times, like I've got so many blue cubes in there, which she had the most blue cubes. And I think she took the least amount of damage.
So that brings me, okay, to think about the mechanics with this, because again, I was the one who started off with, I feel like there's a disjuncture between the mechanics and the theme, but also I feel like that whole list of mechanics that you guys read, like the press your luck, like, is that the press your luck? Like,
yeah, it's making more noise.
But you're not getting to make those choices always. Like it's what's in your hand. I don't know. I feel like that was kind of...
Well, some of it is like... You know, towards the end, when I went for the biggest artifact, I went through and took three damage going through spaces to get to that artifact.
I don't know. Is that, I guess to me, that doesn't feel like pressure luck so much. I mean, pressure luck is, do you keep drawing something knowing that damage could happen? You had the choice at every step of the way to not go that square. It's not like you didn't know what was coming next. To me, that's press your luck. You don't know what's coming next.
I think it's more just in the bags. Like you could take more cards in your hand, like those power boots that will add clank, which will eventually get into the bag. It's a little bit less direct.
But then every deck builder is a press your luck in that sense. I don't know. Maybe I just don't understand these mechanics, but I just didn't get some of them.
I think one of the big things is, and this goes back to kind of you were the first one out kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, like when it came down to Kiwi was the last one on the ship, there was really nothing stopping him from wandering around, picking up all the tokens and maxing out his victory points.
Yeah.
Because all he had to do to avoid a boss was not buy cards. Right?
Yeah.
So I think if there had been, and I think you said in the original Clank, there's a countdown. You have X turns to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would have been more push your luck because you could have grabbed the quick one and gotten out and made Kiwi, if he wanted to go deeper in to get the better reward, then he'd be pushing his luck. Like, will I have time to get out or will BP race for the exit? And then, like, I think that would have been more pressure luck. But because there was really no time constraint on getting out, yeah, without any real time constraint, I think that kind of lost sort of the rush to get out, which would have felt a little more pusher lucky, I think.
And would have reminded me more of then Magic Maze as well. And the whole idea, if you're a thief, you really do want to get out of there.
Right.
So maybe I wonder why they removed that rule in this version.
Yeah, it makes me want to chain or try
the original. Yep.
The original, yeah.
Which we've already mentioned. Yeah. So
rules.
We did mess up two things.
Oh.
When we started the game, Eric should have had three clank, I should have had two clank, and BP should have had one clank for being first, second, third. Yeah. And then the last piece was when BP got off. We should have taken everything in the clank section, put it in the bag, and drawn four. And then when Eric got off, we should have done the same thing. So we should have drawn extra cubes when people got off the... other than that, those are the only rules I know we messed up. And then I would say for the rule book itself, like the layout and the way it's set up is very confusing. And there is like... one example for some of like for how to play a hand, but like the question is like how many cards can I buy in a turn? I had to find a forum answer while we were playing to answer it because the rule book doesn't say anything about it.
Okay.
No, you mean that rule that you repeated several times?
Well, I just wanted to make sure that people got it because you guys don't listen to me.
He put so much effort finding it. He wanted to make sure we knew it.
Right.
We're gonna listen to one rule. Yeah. It's gonna be this rule.
But the rule book was like not well laid out, and it just the way it was put together was very confusing.
in terms of the iconography, like if you look at the space pirate, so they just kind of overdid it, I think. You've got, it says arrive and it has an arrival thing. It says danger, it has a danger thing. And then it has symbols to indicate arrival and danger.
Right.
And I just feel like it's overkill. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of stuff on the card.
Yeah. And then it just clutters the whole kind of thing. So like I spent a lot of time like, what did that symbol mean something I need to remember? Oh no, it's just a rehash of what the text says. So I don't know. That's just little things like that, that kind of, I feel like, clutter things up and make it seem more confusing than it is. Player interaction, I thought, was actually pretty good for deck builder. I thought there was a lot of like, I mean, of course, all the good cards come up right before Kiwi's turn because that's just how games work. But, you know,
I mean, it clearly didn't matter since you won.
I have to overcome. And I think at the end, I was trying to draw more cards to try to get Kiwi killed. But I don't know. I thought there was a decent amount of player interaction. What did you think?
I thought the exact opposite.
Okay.
I was on my phone a lot. I got up several times. And then, of course, being the first one, you know, to leave early.
Yeah, then you kind of sit around.
Yeah.
Like if you'd gotten knocked out, you'd just be kind of sitting around. I could see that.
Yeah, I don't feel like I had to pay attention to really what you guys were doing at all. I mean, I guess if I had wanted to win the game, I could have paid more attention. But I feel like just to complete the game, like, I don't know.
To be clear, I don't think it's a lot of player interaction. I just think it's more than, say, Dominion or El Dorado or the other deck builders we've played.
Yeah. I did notice you had qualified that.
I thought there was, yeah, just a little bit more in terms of like, you know, like what you were saying with, you were trying to draw cards to get a boss to then have cubes pulled out of the bag to try and get me knocked out.
Yeah.
And then I think there was one time where you took a card because it was a purple card and you were like, well, I'm not going to let you get that. And so you bought that. And then, you know, you can block people because the data pad that you use can't be hacked by somebody else, so you block them so they might have to change their path in order to do the hacking.
The board is so big.
Like, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of those.
There's a lot of options. Yeah. So not a ton, but a little bit more than some other average deck builder, I feel like.
It takes a lot to knock somebody out. Like it was pretty easy to avoid it, I felt like, which also probably contributed to the lack of a pressure luck feel. Like I was, I mean, you were pretty close and I was trying to knock you out and it was still just sort of, I mean, I guess you can have a round of bad luck where you pull like two bosses in a row and it's all your cubes, but it did seem pretty difficult, which is not bad with player elimination. You want to make it hard, but to me, it almost kind of became like something you don't really have to worry about. All right. Would you play it again? Kiwi.
I think I would, just to see if it plays the same again.
Would you play the space version again or you would play the other?
That's what I was going to say, is I would probably play other versions before I played this one again.
Okay. I'll agree with that. I was going to say that I would play it again just to see if it played the same. I have a feeling that it would. I would rather try the original Clank just to see, because like I felt like it's been so hyped up and I was like, oh, everybody loves Clank, like so many people talk about Clank and loving Clank, you know, but we've played other games where people love them and we were just kind of like,
I've also seen it on some overrated lists too, so I think it's kind of mixed. There's also a Acquisitions Incorporated version, which is
and that's a legacy version.
I kind of like that because I really like the Acquisitions Inc. people.
Yeah. And the cool thing about that is that it becomes your own personal game too, because then you can continue playing regular Clank with the board you built for your legacy. So you don't have to get rid of it.
So, I mean, the two other options I think I would try, it's good to know that this has shown up on the overhyped list, because that's what I was thinking too. I was like, gosh, I remember people talking like so many good things about this. So I would be curious how it does compare to the dragon. Although the legacy version sounds fairly interesting as well. Just that idea where you'd have maybe more invested in it so that you'd be more careful about, I don't know, what you're getting or what you're not. I don't know. Right. I'd have to see what the rest of the rules were, how it played or whatever.
In the original Clank, the first person comes out and then there's a countdown track and stuff happens. Like the dragon attacks more. And then at the end, the dragon instantly knocks out all players still in the dungeon.
Mm.
So you have basically four turns to get out of the dungeon once the first player gets out.
Yeah, I like that better, I think.
Yeah, I like the idea of it better. I'd still want to sit and play it. So, you know, like I think if someone else had this, it was at a cafe or the original version, not this one. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
Give it a try.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I will say like I like the board with the deck builder. I think I like that more than a standard one. But it's also a much bigger time investment than like a hand of Dominion, which takes like right. 20 minutes.
Yeah, so, no, this yeah. was what we said about 2 hours we were yeah. playing it.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I like both of them. It's just kind of different. You just have to be in the mood for like a really heavier kind of thing.
I don't know that it was heavy in terms of strategies.
No, you're right. You're
time
sorry.
Commitment.
Yeah, it's more time-consuming
sure.
game.
Yeah. And one that, I don't know, for me just wasn't that engaging overall, you know, like... It wasn't like suddenly 2 hours was gone, but it was like, oh, my God, this game is dragging on 2 hours.
All right. Anything else to add on Clank in Space?
Space.
Up next, we're going to be playing The Captain is Dead, designed by Joe Pierce and JT Smith. The artist is Gaetano Leonardi. It is published by, originally it was self-published and then it was picked up by AEG. The description is, imagine that you are one of the crew of your favorite science fiction TV show. Now imagine in the last 10 minutes of the show, things have gone so badly that the captain is dead and you and the surviving members of your crew have to pull together and save the day yourselves. The mechanics are action points, area movement, card drafting, cooperative, hand management, and variable player powers. And the box art is a geometric shapes making up a people on a planet that look terrified. That's my best explanation.
Yeah, so Paxson asked me he was like, what are you guys playing? I told him the name. He was like, what do you do? And I was like, imagine an episode of Star Trek, but all the named characters are dead, and it's nothing but red shirts.
Yes, yeah. And there's a couple episodes like that. So yeah, based on all this, would you pick it up off the shelf?
Probably not.
Is it because it's science fiction?
I mean, I sometimes go in for science fiction, don't I?
Yeah, sometimes. I think the science fiction games that we've played, I know that you haven't particularly looked forward to because of the theme. I think Clank was, Clank in Space was one of them. And the only other one I think we've played is Galactic Scoundrels.
Yeah.
But that was more of a storytelling one. So yeah. I think you were into it because of the storytelling.
It's true. And I do like, I like Cowboy Bebop. I like Firefly. What's the other one? Star Wars? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think you have anything against sci-fi in particular. Just combat-y ones, maybe. But
I mean, card drafting, we know, is not. I mean, the cooperative element, sure. The art, though, like you were saying, it's very geometrical. That cartoon geometrical shapes, too. Kind of almost cubist, again, in nature. It doesn't, there's a lot of red, just doesn't look very...
A lot of colors going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the kind of the premise, and none of the mechanics other than cooperative jump out, but the art is a little bit not too appealing.
Yeah, I meant to, before we started the episode, I was going to type up an email and send it to you guys with predictions on how you guys would feel about the game. And then just have you guys open up the email at the end and be like, let's see how close key we got. But I predicted that BP wouldn't be super into it because of the theme, and that Eric wouldn't be super into it because of the art.
Yeah, that's solid.
But now it just feels like I'm saying that because you guys have already said it. But
yeah, I mean, it's okay. You can cheat.
I think I would pick it up just because it's AEG. And they're starting to make a lot of games that I really enjoy. It's kind of like Renegade, where if a game's by Renegade, I'm probably going to pick it up and at least look at it.
Like, I really like kind of the idea of the theme. And I've heard good things about this in terms of, like, it really plays like a sci-fi game more than a lot of other kind of stronger themed sci-fi games, I guess. I don't know. So I've heard good things. But that art...
Yeah, I didn't think you would like the art at all. I think it's, you know, definitely telling that, you know, it was kickstarted, self-published, and then a game company picked it up. So, and not like a small company either. I think that's telling to how good the game should be.
Okay, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
This is also, by the way, not at all, obviously, on the conversation we were having when you guys at least told me the title of the game.
Yeah.
I was expecting maritime ship, pirates, zombies.
Right. So what do we got for history?
Well, I didn't prep anything because I had no clue what the game was supposed to be about. So as you guys were, when you brought up the whole Star Trek theme, did make me think about, right, Star Trek itself coming out in the 1960s, which historical context, right? It's in the height of the Cold War with the whole space race taking place. You know, who's going to go get to the moon, land on the moon. Also thinking about all of the spinoffs of some of the space race. And so that's, I mean, especially thinking about the color scheme reminds me a little bit of some of that space race and sci-fi that became very popular in the 70s as well, which, of course, one of the spinoffs of the space race and all of that was also Tang, which, of course, the bright orange in the center of the art box reminds me a little bit of. So there you go. The captain is dead, Star Trek-themed, space race, and Tang.
I was about to say, that was great that we went from the cover art to Tang.
Yeah. That's, like, it almost, the art almost gives me, like, a Lost in Space feel to it.
Like the original?
More than, yeah. It's not the original. Did they remake it?
Yes. Oh. Parker Posey's in the remake. It's very dark.
Oh, yeah. We were watching those on Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kind of gives me that feel. What is that hand in the bottom left, though?
I don't know. Someone lost their arm. Like, that's what I was saying. Like, there's a lot going on, and people look scared and...
So the game was originally, when they made it like a print and play, and then you could purchase it on the Game Crafter. And so if you go to the Green Crafter's website, you can still look up some of the art and stuff. You can actually still buy it from the Game Crafter, but then they have a link to AEG's version. But what's interesting is the art, it's still the geometric sort of art style, but it's got more of a, you know, like the old Soviet posters.
Right, from like the... 30s and 40s.
Yeah, from like the World War. Yeah, the 30s and 40s, sort of World War II Soviet.
Uh-huh.
Like it's...
Which, I mean, this still kind of has that feel because those were very blocky.
But just like the way that, you know, a lot of times, you know, they'd have the text at the bottom and there'd be like some kind of militaristic theme. And then, you know, there was always some sort of like lines or like the flow of the poster always went from like, you know, the kind of the top left down to the bottom right. There was always like some sort of like action-y bit. So that's... The style from Game Crafter looks like that.
Yeah, I mean, now that you bring that up, all the lines are triggering to this center figure who looks like they're screaming. The arm, though, in question does remind me of kind of the embroidery on the bottom of a captain's uniform for a naval ship.
And it does look like they're on the bridge of a ship with a bunch of explosions and stuff. It
looks like they're on a planet.
Yeah.
Well, you can see in the left, there's a chair in the command console.
There's a chair, but I assumed it just fell on the planet.
Same. I was with Eric on this one.
No, it's the bridge of the ship. So how do we play? The goal of the game is to work together to repair the ship's jump core and escape from the aliens that are trying to destroy us. As is the norm for co-op games, there are more ways to lose than there are to win. If our shields go to zero and we take another hit, that's one way. If we run out of hostile aliens to place, that's a second way. There are red alerts that could potentially kill us. And if we survive all the red alerts, then if we run out of alert cards to draw, we also lose. So at the beginning of the game, each player is going to be given a random pawn color, and then they get to choose a role that matches those pawn colors. There are seven different colors.
Wait.
What's up?
Wait.
Yep. She doesn't get to pick blue.
Yeah, she doesn't get to pick blue.
I don't know that I like this game yet.
Each role is given a number of actions that they can perform per turn, and then they get a skill discount, and then usually like a special skill. So there's 18 different roles that you can play spread across seven different colors. The turn order is determined by the initiative on the card. So lowest initiative goes first, and then it goes in initiative order through each turn. And then on each player's turn, they're going to perform a number of actions limited by the number that they have on their card. Most characters have four. There are one or two that have three, and then there's one that has five. You can perform different actions. So some of the actions that you can do are you can move, you can kill a hostile alien, you can carry another player a space, you can give a skill or a tool to another player, you can give a skill or tool, you can take a skill or a tool, and there's also rooms with different systems that have different requirements to utilize those systems. So like there's a transporter, there's a communicator, there's a torpedo room to launch torpedoes. Skills, so we're going to have hands of cards. So skills include command, engineering, science, and tactical, and they're different colors. So when we do certain actions, you'll have to pay action, and then you'll have to pay a skill as well. So like increasing the shields is two actions and two tactical. But like if you have the tactical officer, it has a discount of two tactical. So you don't have to pay the discount. And then there are restrictions to the actions that you can perform based on if a system is online or offline, if your character is injured, or if there's an alien present. Once a player has performed all their actions, an alert card is drawn and played out. And then play continues to the next player in initiative order. And this continues until the game is over. And as long as the external sensors system is online, we always get to see the next two alerts.
That's a lot. But it kind of reminds me of just like a non-electronic version of that. What is it? Artemis? The one where we were all like different roles.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Is it the one we played at the very first Gen Con?
It wasn't at Gen Con. It was at Phoenix Comic Con.
Yeah.
But they have it at Gen Con.
Okay.
All right. Let's play.
We just finished a game of The Captain is Dead. To recap, we lost.
Not only is the captain dead, but we're all dead.
We're not sure how, though, because we lost by the alert deck running out. So we didn't blow up. The aliens didn't get us. We just sort of, I guess, gave up.
I think it says, like, if you run out of alerts, like, you're overpowered by the enemy.
Yeah, yeah. I think we just sort of said, we've had enough. We're done. Kill us.
Right, yeah, right here. When you try to draw another alert and cannot, the hostile alien ship blows you out of the sky and you still lose.
There we go.
There you go. We were blown out of the sky.
So we repaired the jump core three times out of five needed, and our shields were down to 0%. So we were pretty much dead no matter what happened next. I was the weapons officer. BP was a medical officer. Who was our best killer.
Yep.
And Kiwi was the tactical officer.
who did some killing, but not nearly as much as the doctor.
I feel like we should have kept stats on who killed the most.
Oh, we should.
Yeah,
have.
That would have been good to know. Yeah, so I guess we can't really have the winning strategy part. What kind of was our strategy? Did we have one?
I think we did what like new people at Pandemic always do, is like try to do everything and realize that you can't. Like, you have to focus on the winning aspect.
Yeah, and I think pretty early on we were like, we feel like we're just kind of band-aiding stuff versus being proactive.
Yeah.
So I was focused on fixing the repair drive because I had some engineering. Kiwi was focused on keeping shields up. BP was killing.
Yeah, and trying to collect as many cards.
Yeah,
I
and
feel
command
like I
stuff.
Had, yeah, I had like the best card option. And so
yeah,
I was just trying to get all of that. But you're right. I mean, a winning strategy would have been like, get engineering cards to an engineering person to get in there.
Yeah. Like, we didn't do a lot with the cards to start. We were kind of like, well, let's see what gets damaged and we'll go fix everything, instead of like maybe two of us focused on doing some engineering stuff while like the third just kind of repairs what's needed. So BP, you're kind of hesitant on the theme. What did you think?
I think it all worked really well. I mean, could it have been something else and still done? Possibly. But I think I felt like I was on a ship in Star Trek.
I did too. I thought, yeah, it really captured the feel of like being on a ship, overwhelmed and everything going to shit. Like, I think it captured that really well.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen enough Star Trek episodes that I felt I was there.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the only other theme you could put on is like old-timey ship the line, like sailing ship, which for all intents and purposes is what Star Trek is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even then, I feel like you wouldn't quite have like, oh, we're teleporting around. Yep. Like, it felt very fast-paced.
Yes.
Like, things are just coming in, and it was just, I mean, yeah, sure, there's other themes you could have, anything that kind of captures that, but I think it kind of built on like, hey, it's kind of like Star Trek, and then that lets the player sort of fill in the only experience, right?
Yeah.
So if you've never seen Star Trek, you might not be able to connect the theme well.
Yeah, I think the theme's strong enough, though, that even if you hadn't seen Star Trek, I think you'd still be okay.
Seen some sort of sci-fi, Odyssey.
Like, I can even kind of think of, like, episodes of maybe, like, Doctor Who or something, where there's still kind of this, like, running around trying to fix stuff kind of sort of vibe to it. So I think there's quite a few things. Yeah, so how would you think of the art, BP?
I mean, for all the discussion we had on the current box, I feel like it was not as an important element in the actual cards, although the cards themselves were clear on their function. I just don't feel like it was a huge element in the game.
Yeah, like design-wise, it's really good. Everything's kind of color-coordinated pretty well. The symbols are clear. The ship is matching to the symbols. But
yeah,
that ship design is just ugly.
There's a lot.
It's a little over. I think it kind of plays to the whole, when we first opened it up, we're like, this is a lot going on. And so maybe it kind of is too much, if that makes sense. Like, maybe if they had gone with a different style, it wouldn't have felt as overwhelming.
Yeah, and so I will point out that the version that we're playing here is the art from the GameCrafter version. There's not a whole lot different, though, from AEG's version. In fact, the board looks like it's about the same, but the cards are a little bit different, just, you know, graphic layout wise. But like the same, the art style is still the same. The board looks the exact same. So I agree. I mean, I think it's the colors that are kind of making it seem crazy.
Yeah,
which
the colors, and look at that background on the board itself.
Yeah,
like those shade. Like, I think a simple Starscape background, and then maybe like the ship could have been more like, it's kind of just empty, right? It's just colored block spaces. Like, even though the theme did connect with us, having a kind of more realistic looking spaceship may have helped that a bit more,
because they could have outlined the locations in the color, which they've already done. It's just
right.
They colored it in. Yeah, it's very busy.
Like, comparing this to Pandemic Rapid Response, where you're in a plane, like, I thought that kind of had
yeah.
Even though that was still clearly laid out and clearly like marked, it had more of a plane look to it. Like everybody could look at that and go, oh, it's a plane. Whereas if he showed just this picture of a ship to people, I think it would take them a second to figure out that's a spaceship.
You know what it reminds me of?
Oh, I would have never put this as a spaceship. It just reminds me of those maps in like hotels or, yeah.
It looks like someone took one of those Simon memory games with the colors and semicircles and just like put it on a board and was like, okay, I'm going to design a board game around this.
Kiwi, what'd you think of the mechanics?
So when I predicted that, you know, BP wouldn't like the theme and Eric wouldn't like the art, after I read the rules and put everything together, I knew it was going to be a game that we would enjoy. When I read the rules, like I immediately thought Pandemic, and I have enjoyed the Pandemic alternatives that we've played earlier. You know, So I think the mechanics really come together.
Yeah. And I think the key there is the action point mechanic.
Yeah.
That kind of really is what ties it to Pandemic, where you have X actions to do. But there's a lot more options, I feel like.
Yes. Yeah. Way more options. Because you only have, like, in the base game of Pandemic, you only have four?
Yeah, there were definitely, I remember during the game, we were just like, there's just so much going on right now. And we were, in the beginning, still trying to figure out, like, there's just a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think even if you played it again, you'd still be like, there's so much to do. But I think that really gives you, like, Pandemic is, I feel like it's almost like a slow buildup where it's like, we're doing fine. Okay, we've got outbreaks. It's just sort of expanding and you lose control of it. Whereas this, you just fell out of control from the start. Like,
I don't know. There was that one time Kiwi and I lost within like, what was it? 2 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Well, but it's still kind of the same thing of like, okay, the virus is expanding. We can't keep up. That's it. Whereas this one, it's like, are we doing fine? Oh, nope. Everything's down. Okay. We're doing fine. Oh, nope. We need that. It's,
yeah, but I think if I did play this again, I would be like, oh my gosh, yellow cards, so easy, until you get like down to the red and you're like, really, oh my gosh, everything's going to explode.
But I do think, like, I mean, I haven't played Pandemic as much as you guys, but isn't it kind of like you kind of have a plan and you just push the plan and whether it works or not, like.
Yeah, I mean,
that you still kind of have a, whereas this one, it was like we had our plan didn't last 5 seconds because something changed.
I mean, in Pandemic, you can plan a little bit, but you can start drawing cards that makes that plan go all to hell. But I thought that this one, like, I feel like in Pandemic, you can usually get around back to yourself but before you have to change the plan. In this one, it just seemed like
right. We
were changing the plan after everybody's turn.
BP on the mechanics?
So, I mean, I don't know about mechanics, although last night meeting with that game group for the first time, I caught myself. They were asking me about certain games and I'm explaining them and I realized I am spouting out mechanics and I caught myself and was like, I can't believe I'm saying this right
now.
It was
slowly
awful.
Coming over to the dark side.
One of us.
I enjoyed how this game played out because isn't that what
Yes.
So I don't know what the various components were, but I enjoyed them. There we go.
Sometimes I feel like you're actively trying not to learn.
All right. How about the rules?
I mean, aside from I was reading along, so trying to pay attention during the actual rule section. I do want to point that out. I was trying.
I just want to say a lot of times. A lot of times I space out during that. And then when I go back to edit, I'm like, shit, he did a good job explaining. I should have paid attention. I would have picked this game up much faster.
I feel though there were a few times just thinking about wording, which is where I pick up like the minutia detail that we did have to ask questions of the rules. But I feel like you were able to find answers fairly quickly. So in that instance, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they were spelled out pretty clearly, at least enough for you to explain them to us later.
Yeah, the rule book, unlike Clank in Space, the rule book for this one is very well laid out. There's, I mean, a lot of writing on the pages, but I feel like the text is big enough where that's really what's filling it up. And then they have like a bunch of examples. They even have like a whole like round example of play.
Ooh, I like examples.
Yeah. So they explain all the rules and then they have a three player where they do setup and then a whole round for each of those players. So, and then there's, I mean, two pages is filled up with like a strategy guide, basically like hints and tips. And then there's, there's a page with a couple of variants.
All right. For player interaction, I mean, I think obviously there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Like most cooperative games, there's a lot. You could run into the quarterbacking issue. Right.
What's that?
One person kind of tries to run the table.
Oh, yeah. The alpha.
Yeah. Quarterbacking, I think, is the most common
term
for it.
Yeah. Which we don't have a lot of problem. I think there was a point where Kiwi sometimes tried. But we dialed them back enough.
Yeah, we just don't listen to them anyway, so it's not really a problem for us.
It wasn't so much that I was alpha gaming and more just like somebody would say something and I would just start doing it before there was any discussion.
It's more his impatience than trying to quarterback it.
Yeah. Just trying to get things to move along.
True. But I feel like for this, like there were times where I wanted to be checking my phone just as a habitual thing, which is really awful. But like, I was like, I can't, like, I got to pay attention. I got to know like, what are the next cards coming up? I got to know what everybody else is doing. Like even in pandemic, I feel like you might be able to, depending on how many players you have, you might be able to check out just even a little bit. But I felt like on this, like you had to know what was going on constantly because there was so much going on. It was one of those ones, which is very rare for me, and because I love our play group, even if it's sometimes small for some of the games. But I would really, I kind of want to see what the extra chaos is with extra players.
Yeah, more chaos, more people.
Which is weird because I don't feel like I often think that way in a game, but I kind of want to see it.
Yeah, I think this would be a good one with more people.
It was kind of like that with Magic Maze, where I wanted to see what would this be like with more people.
It just gets more chaotic, and it was a lot of fun.
I actually have two last questions on this one.
Ooh.
First, would you play it again?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Actually, I have a few follow-up questions. I would definitely play it again. Would you play it over, let's say, Pandemic? Because that's what we've been comparing it to mostly.
I know you were hesitant on me with the theme, and I would actually, right now, only having played it once, I would say yes. I don't know long term, but like if I were at a party or even just at, you know, another game board event and like the two were presented, I also feel like, because I play Pandemic all the time, like I would choose this one.
Kiwi?
Yeah, I think I would pick this one over Pandemic. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it depends slightly on the group for me. Like Pandemic is probably easier for people to get into. This is a bit more overwhelming. So, but yeah, if it were like us, I would pick this over Pandemic.
I think that's a good point because I think in the past on podcasts, we've often brought up Pandemic as a gateway to games and cooperative games, especially because it is so much, it's easy to pick up. And especially if you have a good group that's willing to work together versus alpha gaming it. It's nice to have that for people who aren't normally into games. Whereas you're right. I think you make a great point that this is definitely a little bit more complex.
Yep. So now another one we didn't actually compare it to, but I feel like it might be the most thematic comparison was Space Alert, which Kiwi and I played, where it's real time and you're running around a ship trying to stop all these things from happening to you. It's kind of like Kitchen Rush in space is probably the best.
Okay.
But it's kind of like this in that there's these constant threats coming at you that you got to deal with.
So instead of just setting your kitchen on fire, someone's coming in and setting your kitchen on fire for you.
Yeah, unless you do it to yourself.
Yes.
That's also possible.
So I think it would depend on the group, just because Space Alert had the real-time aspect to it, which, while fun, like if you're trying to, like you don't get a lot of chance to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
Where this one, you can stop the play, you can talk about it, and then continue.
Yeah. This kind of made me want to play that, and I'm not sure which one I would like better. they have a similar feel to them, I think.
Yeah.
There you go. That's is the captain dead? Which we never answered. I guess he's dead.
Yeah, I think he's dead.
I guess the captain is dead. It's not a question. It's just a statement.
Yeah, he's very dead.
If you have any suggestions on cooperative or space-themed games that you would like to hear our thoughts about, please send them our way to @FirstTurnCast. We are on both the Twitter and Instagram, and we hope to hear suggestions from you soon. And subscribe, rate, and review us so we can continue to project our thoughts on board games. I kill the two aliens, nice. Move me to the bridge, and I kill one more.
Just a fucking slaughterhouse over there.
Do no harm.
The medical officer. Yeah,
no, just fucking everyone up.
Feel like it's like, how quickly are we going to lose in the next, like, how many rounds?
Shut your damn mouth. We got this.
All right, BP.